morning. Welcome to chapel. This morning we have Jim Tebbe, who's going to give us an update on where we're at in this big freight train heading to St. Louis called Urbana that we're all on. I don't know whether we're in the passenger cars or the box cars or what, but we're going there. So, Jim, why don't you come forward? I'll just give you, pray for you. Lord, we just put Urbana in your hands. There's nothing that we can do in our strength and in our ability without it being totally undergirded by you. So, Lord, we just submit everything, all of our plans to you, Lord, because we want you to shape them ultimately. We want you to give them definition. We want you to infuse your spirit into every part of Urbana. So bless Jim as he shares today. Give him fresh words to share with us about what you are doing behind the scenes with Urbana and all the things that are rising up that we are all part of right now. Thank you, Lord, for his service to us and for the service of all the Urbana team. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you. How many of you have seen this before? Just so you have a calling. Yeah, you've seen one or two of you. If you're like me, you get tired of it. When we were showing the Urbana video, at one point Matt Sally was sort of talking along with the whole thing, you know, going all the way through. He'd seen it so many times at one of these conferences. And we get a little tired of seeing something again and again and again. And when this came out, I was just absolutely bowled over by how good it was. I thought, you know, there is just nothing that I've seen that's as good as this. And I'm thinking, wow, you know, we're coming up to Urbana. Well, you know, our 2100 team has done a new design, and these are the colors that are going to be worked on and used at Urbana. And this is part of the design. This is the Bible cover that's actually going to be at Urbana. You have an arrow that goes up in the corner. You can't see the edge of it. And it's live a life worthy of the calling. There are verses of Ephesians on here. There's the green that's life with seeds and other things on. There's all sorts of symbolism in it. And as you study it, it just becomes more and more meaningful. And I love it. And I think this is the best thing that's come. You know, we had that. You have a calling and that was terrific. And this is the best thing that's come. As we come up to Urbana, we are so excited about the new things that God is going to do at this convention. And this is just one small symbol of what it is. As 2100 has been looking and planning it and worked really hard on the Bible cover design. I'm just going to leave that up here for a bit as I mention a few other things here about Urbana. I would like to look at where we are. We're coming up to a deadline at Urbana in terms of registrations, and they're picking up now. We have about four more days before the 15th, which is the next deadline. We anticipate that there'll be a lot that come in after that, and we are at about 12,700, 12,800 right now, and they're going fast in these days. And we look towards the future, and we worry, are we going to get the registrations that we need, and are all the things going to come together? We're right sort of in the middle of everything right now. But I think it's important at a time like this to pause and to say, what is it that God has done so far? To pause and look at what God has done as we look towards the future, because the greatest confidence that we have in the future of what's going to happen is what God has done in the past. And three or four different times, the Lord has laid on my heart the concept of Ebenezer, hitherto as the Lord helped us, that we read about in 1 Samuel 7. And it was different people that were saying something about it as well as something that had come to me as I was remembering it. And I'd like to read this passage in 1 Samuel 7, 7 through 12, but not you reading all those verses here. And just listen to the word of God here. When the Philistines heard that Israel had assembled at Mizpah, the rulers of the Philistines came up to them to attack them. And while Samuel was sacrificing the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to engage Israel in battle. But that day the Lord thundered with a loud thunder against the Philistines and threw them into such a panic that they were routed before the Israelites. And so what happens is they felt this was just way beyond them, and then God came in and worked in a mighty way, in a supernatural way, and scattered the enemies of the Israelites. And then Samuel, in memory of this, took a stone and set it up between Mizpah and Shen, and he named it Ebenezer, saying, thus far has the Lord helped us. Thus far has the Lord helped us. The stone means the Lord has helped us. And so up until this point, the Lord has helped us, and there's a lot to do with the Philistines here. There's a lot to do with Urbana that's coming up, but God has brought us this far. And let me share with you a couple of things. Matt Sally, before as you know, many of you know, he's gone in for back surgery today, and that's a prayer request that we have. He's been sort of Christy Chapel's right-hand man in terms of the communications part. He's going to be out for the better part of a month. But he shared with me a letter that was written by a woman. I'm just going to read a little bit about this. This is what God has done in the past. As a college freshman in 1951, Dane Gordon came to our campus at Oswego State, New York, and gave a speech on Christianity on the British campus. The poster intrigued me, so I attended the event. At the end, I thought I would be polite and thank him for his efforts, and he responded by asking me to answer some questions he was using in a survey. And I obliged. Question one, why do you think Jesus came into the world? My answer, to die for the sins of the world. I was raised a Lutheran. Two, isn't that wonderful? Question, isn't that wonderful? That is, for my sin and your sin? And my response, oh yes it is. And Dave's question number three, what are you going to do about it? And I was overwhelmed. I learned about opening my life and my heart to Christ and learning to live for Him. That was 1951. Dorothy Farmer was the staff person who encouraged me each time she came on campus. And I was introduced to other students in IBCF, and I found that I had brothers and sisters in faith with Dorothy's help. I received a scholarship to Campus in the Woods in Canada for A Rich Time in the Bible, and there she met other people there. And then we had a telephone call, and it was Dorothy telling me that because of some wonderful donors, I had been offered a scholarship to the Urbana Mission Conference, and she put me in touch with someone who was driving, and off I went. My first night in the dorms, our prayer leader was Corey Ten Boom, who inspired us all, considered going wherever God calls us. Powerful lady, she writes. So Corrie ten Boom in 1951 at Urbana Conference. And this is part of the history that we have had at this conference. Thousands, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of people have been influenced in powerful ways like this. I remember in February of this year, I traveled to California. Nikki Toyama had set up an itinerary for me. If you want to keep busy, have Nikki Toyama set up your itinerary. I was absolutely rushed off my feet from place to place to place. And at one point was speaking in an evangelical free church in Stockton, California on a Sunday morning. And after the service, it was a meeting in a school. It was a new church, and it was meeting in a school. And after the service, we went out, and there was a group of students. They had come from the university there in Stockton, and they wanted to talk with me. There's about 25 of them. They were all talking about going to Urbana, planning to go to Urbana. And as we talked together, then they asked at the end, they said, listen, can we pray for you? We this is an event. And they prayed for me. And they all, several of them prayed, put their hands on me and prayed for me there in Stockton, California. More than a year ago, about a year and a half ago, we learned that there was an offer for a scholarship grant, for scholarships for students to come to Urbana, $750,000 matching scholarship. So together it would be $1.5 million. Remember, we put this big St. Louis Arch chart up over there in the missions department, and it began with Marianne Vogel praying specially for us and emptying her purse and putting the seed money, on that bottom level there. And I have to say that as I looked at that, it looked like an impossible match to me. It just didn't look like it would be possible for that money to come in. It will come in. We're almost there. We're just about there, and it will come in by this time. That's God's provision in a special way. And let me read something that Lisa Chin passed on to me about this scholarship match. Hi. Hope plans are coming along for the next Urbana. Since we're not able to come like we had hoped, we've donated $2,400 towards the scholarships for those students who otherwise wouldn't be able to attend. Larry's nonprofit venture was ended quickly when the Senate passed a bill that prevented his parent organization from continuing to offer the 501c3 status that they had been providing. All the money he'd raised, the overage from the Ukraine trip, was frozen and could only be donated to an existing nonprofit. The same day that we were discussing what to do with the money, a flyer for Urbana and the need for scholarships came in the mail, and we really felt like the Lord was leading us to donate the money to Urbana. We hope others can be blessed half as much as we were when we were your special guests at Urbana. Thanks again for your continued influence in our lives. So somebody gets a letter, and they respond to this matching grant. And that has happened hundreds of times. Hundreds of times. We had no idea what the response would be, as it has been for that matching grant. Or a year ago, we had a letter from a retiree from Oregon. He was in his 70s. He'd never been to Urbana, had heard about Urbana, had read about it, then found out that Urbana was moving to St. Louis, had looked up at a hotel that he could stay in St. Louis, and sent a letter saying that he wanted to come to this Urbana, and could he, because he didn't have a computer, could we please send him a paper registration so he could fill it out, and sent $5 for costs related to sending the paper registration. Or an alumni. This is from Doug Nichols. This is as he was writing and inviting alumni to Urbana. Thank you for contacting the class of 74, RE Urbana 06. It's so exciting to think of staying at Urbana with other alumni, and I'm not able to attend this year, but wanted to thank you for this. My life was changed at Urbana, and the changes continued. Elizabeth Elliott Leach was the speaker and God used to change my life as a female longing to share God's word. And it goes on and on and on with stories and testimonies of what God has done. Hitherto has the Lord helped us. He's brought us here and he's brought us to this place as we're looking towards the future. And we know he's been faithful in the past and that he will be faithful in this Urbana, even if some of us who are working on the Urbana feel like we've been hit in the back with the Cornish Express with all of the things that are coming and changes that are there. We know God is with us. One of the things that's a hallmark of this Urbana 06 is Scripture. Some of you are participating in an Ephesians study, and I think that virtually all of us would know that the text for this Urbana is the book of Ephesians. It can be broken down into 8 sections, and there's a manuscript study that's going on here in the NSC. And one of the things that's exciting about that is that that's been studied. Ephesians has been studied all over InterVarsity in about 120 different InterVarsity staff. Many of them senior staff have been involved in Ephesians dig-ins for 4 days. In other words, where all you do is study the scripture and let it wash over your lives. And Alec, when he was speaking at fall meetings just recently, has been memorizing Ephesians. He's about halfway through it. A good chunk of it has been memorized, and he has bathed himself and been living in the book of Ephesians, as have many others. And Ephesians is influencing InterVarsity. And we believe that God speaks to us through Scripture. God's Spirit is alive, and that's part of the Protestant principle, that we can read Scripture and with the Holy Spirit speaking to us, can understand what it is that God has for us in our lives. And there's no more important a time for this to happen in missions than now. We're at a crossroads in missions in the world today. The church in the South is growing rapidly. Society has changed dramatically in this country. The ways that old mission societies have worked, and that's what I'm a part of, that's what my background is, are changing dramatically. And what is it that God has for the future? What is it that God has for the future? Well, the way that God speaks is through his word. We believe that. And we in InterVarsity love the Bible, and so study of Ephesians is going to be really important. We have this manuscript studies that we're doing. We're doing them in a way that we've never done before. And when they had the meeting down in September for the manuscript leaders, the people that are going to be leading folk, large groups, who will also have small groups there, and teaching them how to study Ephesians inductively, it went very, very well. They sort of walked through the program and worked on this, and we're excited about it. It goes against the tide of our society today. People don't study the Bible that way. It's different than what's being done. But we believe that it's something that will be very important and life-changing for the students that are there. Lucy Mead and Lindsay Oldsberg, who've been working on these Ephesians, have met with Ajit Fernando and have worked at coordinating the manuscript studies, the 4 manuscript studies that will be with the exposition, so that there's a clarity of how the scripture teaching flows at Urbana. 2100 is going to come through with 3 videos, I understand. One of them has already been filmed here in the lunchroom. And some of you know the story of Professor Agassiz and the fish. You know that? I see some nods here. You know about that? Agassiz and the fish. Well, in this one, the fish, you know, you're studying the fish, and the whole point of it is that the student doesn't look closely at it. He keeps missing things that are there. But the fish is dead, and in this video, the fish is alive and talks back to the student. And so the point of it is that these videos then will be available for people to do Bible study at other times and places. And what are some goals that we would have at Urbana for Scripture study? and it would be these. Ephesians taught me this about God's mission. Students would come and say, I learned Ephesians, and this is what it taught me about God's missions. And they can tie it directly to the scripture study. And the second is that they would have a desire to study the Bible in this way, and that they would go out and try and meet with other people to, in order to study the scripture. Boy, if we do that, wouldn't that be life-changing at Urbana? In July, Lucille, our program, plenary program manager, organized a program for the speakers. And we had a speakers retreat that came together. And it was just amazing as we sat there and talked and interacted. You know, there's small group interaction, there's large group interaction, and there's some music, and there's some videos and stuff that came from 2100 that had been planned for the program. But it was amazing at how God was bringing the content and the speakers together, and what's even more important, at how God was bringing relationships amongst the people that were there. We all had a really good time and felt like we had come away with good friends just in those two or three days that we were together in the speakers retreat there. Let me go on and say something about the seminars that will be there. There are brochures that are available. If you've not seen the brochures, I'd recommend that you have a chance to look, that you pick them up and look at them. This is HIV/AIDS. There are many students that are justice and issues oriented, and we have this fabulous track that's been put together. There's also Open for Business that John Terrell from our Professional Schools Ministries is running. This one has a distinction of offering a $40,000 door prize for the best kingdom business. This is venture capital for best kingdom business plan. So people will come with business plans, and the best one will get a $40,000 venture capital prize for getting that started. I thought that would be of interest to you. Ram Gidumal, an Indian businessman in London, British Indian businessman in London who's run for mayor there, will be one of the speakers there when they talk about globalization and some of the other programs that they have. There's an international students track that's run by Lisa Chin. There's an arts and media track that has some fabulous speakers and people that are there. I don't know anything about arts and media, but I sure want to attend that. That's great. And then there's a pastor's track. Everyone here has a pastor. Invite your pastor to Urbana. There's a place where they can stay. Steve and Cheryl Hainer will be the directors for it. John Stott is scheduled to come, though it's uncertain because of health issues whether he'll make it, but Chris Wright, who works with him, certainly will be there. Rick Warren, Paul Borthwick, Lindsey Brown will be speakers at that. James Emery White, who is the new president of Gordon Conwell Seminary, will be there as well. He's an author as well. Then we have our friends of InterVarsity and Inside InterVarsity that will be there. And as of date, there's 89 who've signed up for Friends of InterVarsity and 39 for Inside InterVarsity. You can talk to Josh Hall about that. But these are people who are of means and of influence, and there's a special program that's being run for them inside of Urbana. Then there's a slum track and an urban ministry and experiential learning, African Americans in Mission. Elward Ellis and others are coming to that. It's going to be fabulous. I don't know if I haven't seen a program together on mission in that context that's like that. Asian Americans in Missions. And then STEM is being revised to be the short-term training, short-term training in mission will be revised to be run through during this time. On your seats, our plenary program, put this up in your booth and in the place where you are to remember to pray for Urbana. This now is fairly well set in terms of the times and things that will be taking place there. There's a couple of things in here that I would just like to point out. One is that in the theater, we're going to have a theme that begins at the beginning and runs through. And Patrick Sims is a professor here at UW, is the one that's organizing it. Lucille was the one that had contacted him. And so we have this journey that runs right throughout the plenary sessions. Lisa Laird will be responsible for prayer and for speaking to preparing people for small groups in prayer. Prayer will be a special emphasis at this Urbana, because part of what we do when we read the Word of God is also come in prayer before God to say, what is it, God, that you have to say to me in this? And so prayer is a very special part of this. Greg Howe, who was at the last Urbana, those of you who remember him and maybe were even part of his fan club, will be on announcements again and will be there, so you'll be able to see him. We will have a special session, a special talk on evangelism, and even an invitation for people who've not believed to make a profession of faith. And on the evening of the 29th, there will be a simple meal. This is in cooperation with another agency. But basically, it's Matthew Phillip came up with the name, Touching Hunger at Urbana. That's what we call it, Touching Hunger at Urbana. And here's a simple gruel meal made of cornmeal and soy that you get a cup of. And that's what the evening meal will be there. And that's an opportunity to experience what other people do. It's enough to get you through, but not enough to get fat on for that evening. But it's a time for experiencing and feeling some of the values that we have. There's an extended session on HIV/AIDS, and you will have heard some about that. And then I'd just like to say something about the evening of the 30th when Rick Warren and Lisa Chin will be speaking. Lisa and I had a chance to go out to California and meet Rick Warren, and I like to say that it's a study in contrasts. Rick Warren is larger than life in the news media, and he's larger than life when you meet him, too. He's huge, and it's like when you he's a hugger, and when you go to hug him, it's like hugging a redwood tree, you know, in California. There. And then there's Lisa, who's on the other end of the spectrum. And Lisa is the one that's going to be giving our challenge. And she has such a powerful message. And Rick Warren picked up her outline and he looked at it and he says, "This will preach," he says. "How can I set you up for this?" And so pray for Lisa. That morning we're having a time of fasting and prayer and really looking at this issue of calling. What is God saying to you? What is God speaking to you? This is an open-handed way that we're bringing the convention together. And what is God saying? We want that to be a powerful evening. And that's an evening in which the city of St. Louis is being invited in. And that's the evening in which we're also taking the offering. And Jack Vogel, as the head of the committee for that, they've decided where the offering is going to be going. And it's these fabulous works. A lot of it goes to IFES. But there's one thing that I just particularly want to mention. And this is what I'm going to close with. And that is that he commented to me with the requests that had come in, and he said that there are 21 missions conferences planned between 2006 and 2009 that are taking place in different parts of the world. Most of them are asking money from the offering because that's part of the offering was going to go for other missions conferences. We see this as something that's for North American students. We're not trying to have it a conference for the whole world, but it's contextualized for North American students. And we've encouraged conferences to be in other parts of the world. There will be a conference director's track at this Urbana. We anticipate somewhere between 25 and 50 people who will attend it. Many of them will be IFES people, but these are people who want to run missions conferences in other places. At the last Urbana, we ran one of these director's tracks. We didn't do a very good job of it. In fact, we did a really lousy job of it. But there was a Mexican engineer who was there. He had a full-time job, but loved InterVarsity and worked with the COMPA Fellowship down there. And he's taking notes. I remember when I went there, not many people had come to it because it hadn't been going very well. And when I came to speak, there were only four or five people there. And he was one of them, but he was writing things down. And he went down and in Mexico then held this conference. It had more than 1,000 students come to it, and they want to do it again. And he caught the vision at Urbana. And Lindsey Brown said to me, "There's probably a greater influence that comes in the rest of the world from Urbana than actually even what happens in North America." So there may have been 220,000 students that have been influenced for missions from this part of from North America. But he says the impact on that in other parts of the world has been even greater than that in a multiplying of these missions conferences in other places. 11 of those conferences are going to be IFES conferences, during that time. So praise God what he's doing and the movement that he's doing in the world, and that Urbana can be part of that. I understand, is Christy here? Christy Chappell? Oh, back there in the corner. Do you have any copies of this available?
Yes, we're making copies.
Okay. So what it is there is actually, have a chance if you would like to look at the Bible cover and in some of the material that's been written inside, you can have a look at it. And also, if you would like a copy of this, there may not be some available for everyone, but and to remember and pray for a band and put it up in your place of work, do pick one of those up or ask for one and put it up. So with the program and with the cover, and you can have a look at how the Bible will actually look. It's just being passed around with the material inside, we would encourage you to pray for us. Thank you very much.